Today, we are hearing from the charity Fight for Sight once again. More news on advances in research into sight loss. And we have with us Dr. Dolores Conroy. Dolores, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Now, Dolores, Fight for Sight is involved in fundraising. So not so much on the research side, but you do fund multi-million pounds worth each year of research throughout the UK. Does that mean when it comes to looking at sight loss then, we in the UK in terms of research are really way out there?
Well, you're right. We spend about £3 to £4 million in the charity every year on sort of new research programmes. And as of sort of the end of our financial year, the 31st of March, we had a commitment of about £9 million to research in the UK. But we know this is just a drop in the ocean. We have over 100 different eye diseases. We know that diseases such as age-related macular degeneration is increasing because we have an aging population. We have treatments for one form of the disease. We don't have treatments for the other. So we need to put a huge amount of money in to develop new treatments. So we feel that we need to lobby, and especially lobby government, to put more funding into eye research. If you look at the percentage spent on eye research of the total health budget, it's only about 1% of the total health research spend in the UK each year. And that's funding coming from both charities, government and research councils.
Now, we're looking today at a condition called Leber's congenital amaurosis. It's a condition I have myself, so quite a bit of an interest in this one. Tell us a little bit more about the condition, which is an inherited one.
Leber's congenital amaurosis, or LCA for short, it's a term to refer to a family or a group of severe inherited retinal disorders, and they're usually characterized by poor vision early in life. And in addition to poor vision, you can have increased sensitivity to light, involuntary eye movements like nystagmus. And LCA actually makes up about 5% of all the inherited retinal dystrophies. Sometimes when we think about inherited retinal dystrophies, we think of retinitis pigmentosa being the major cause, which affects a lot more than LCA. The genes responsible for LCA, there are many, many genes. I think to date we've got over 20 responsible for the many different forms of LCA, but we know that there are possibly many more genes out there to be discovered. And again, this is part of the funding that we are doing, is to discover new genes responsible for many of these inherited diseases. Up to 1 in 4 people with LCA have mutations in a particular gene called CEP290, which is the subject of the work Professor Cheetham will tell us about. And this is a really exciting piece of work. Fault in this gene only affects the photoreceptor cells in the retina. And the research, which was funded by Fight for Sight and Guide Dogs for the Blind, as well as Moorfields Eye Charity, has really sort of led us to understand more how the photoreceptor cells function due to a fault in this CEP290 protein. And also giving us clear ways how we could restore visual function by repairing the fault in this gene. So we're very excited about the results.
And we have with us Professor Mike Cheetham. Mike, thank you very much for joining us. Dolores just explaining a little bit about the sight loss condition itself, LCA. With the identification then of the gene, what does that mean for your research?
What we try and do is we try and understand why particular inherited changes do actually cause inherited blindness. So what the consequences of those particular faults in genes are for the downstream products that are produced and how that affects the light-sensitive photoreceptor cells. And what we're able to do now is take patient cells from patients with known genetic changes and then study them in the lab. And that's obviously a very sort of exciting breakthrough. Nearly everybody who has LCA caused by CEP290 has a particular change. They all have a very similar change, which is a spelling mistake in between two of the bits of the gene that would normally code for protein. And normally these sort of changes in between the bits that code for protein aren't a bad thing. But this one actually creates a new signal to pretend it's coding for protein when it really doesn't. And so what that does, it disrupts the whole thing being made properly. So you end up with lower levels of CEP290. And what we didn't understand before was why this would only cause problems with your vision and not problems in the rest of the body like some of the other changes in CEP290 do. And this is what we've managed to discover by using patient stem cells.
you've identified the gene and you're looking at LCA, Leber's congenital amaurosis. Now, does the identification of this fault mean that proteins could be used to rectify it?
Yes, I mean, this is an important thing to consider when we're thinking about inherited retinal degenerations, is there are over possibly 200 different causes. And at the moment, our best hope of treating them is to consider them as almost as single entities and then try and find ways to either replace or bypass the missing function or correct the fault itself. And so in some ways, we're thinking about gene-specific therapies. So once we know what the causative gene is, we can start thinking about ways to correct that or bypass that. And that's quite important. I mean, hopefully we'll find ways to treat many more conditions with a similar therapy. But at the moment, we're focusing on specific therapies for specific conditions. And that's what we've done in this study here, is we've used a specific therapy designed against this one particular change that's very common in LCA. In fact, it's the most common single cause of LCA. It causes about 20%, 25% of LCA.
So would the stem cells, could they be taken from the individual with the condition, repaired, and then replaced again?
In the future, possibly. But that's not what we've done here. So what we've done here is we've used the patient's cells. So we took a skin biopsy from their arm, and we grew out the skin cells in the lab. And with these skin cells, we reprogrammed them. We used some factors called the Yamanaka factors to turn them back into stem cells so that they're no longer skin cells. They're now cells that can make other cells in the body. And once we've done that, we can then use them to model the disease. One of the big breakthroughs we've had with this study is we've managed to turn those stem cells, which have come from the patient, into the light-sensitive photoreceptor cells that detect light in the back of your eye. So we can actually model the cells that are affected in the eye in this condition. And then we can start to study the processes that go wrong. That was one of the advances we managed to make here. And this is exciting because this means we'll be able to do this for other conditions as well, of taking cells from patients and actually turning them into eye cells that we can then study in the lab to understand what the consequences of the genetic faults are. And then we can also use them to test potential therapy. So here, one of the things we first discovered was that this gene CEP290 is found in every cell in the body. And it's very important for producing a little sensory antenna that most cells have that detects the environment, that's called a cilium, which is a little bit like an eyelash in most cells. It's very tiny, but it senses the environment. And in your eye, this cilium actually gets very specialized. It gets extended and broadened out, and it's full of light-sensitive molecules. And that's how your photoreceptor cells are so sensitive to light, because they have this special cilium which has got lots of light-sensitive molecules in it. And this protein, CEP290, we know is very important for the cilia to form. But what we didn't understand was why this particular change in CEP290 would only affect the eye and not the cilia in other cells in the body. And what we could do by making the stem cells, we could compare them to other cells that we made with the stem cells and the skin cells to start with. And we could see that there was actually a change in the amount of CEP290 they were making. And this is because how your genes are used by the cell is your gene is made up of what we call introns and exons. So exons code for protein and introns are the bits in between. So these are like, the exons are like cat's eyes in the road, and the introns are like the white lines in between. And normally, what the cell does is it splices out the introns and just sticks all the exons together. And this change in CEP290 causes a new cat's eye to be introduced, and that messes up the protein. But there is good news. We have a potential therapy for this now as well.
Dolores, some exciting news there with this discovery in the gene, although always conscious to say that this is a step on a much longer pathway.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, I think this is a fantastic way of using cells from patients, converting them into induced pluripotent stem cells and providing the researchers with an ability to model the disease and study human disease in the laboratory and obviously and test new therapies. It's fantastic. We look forward to the next stages when this will be actually translated into humans, and I know that's what the researchers plan to do.
Dolores, just finally, if people would like to find out anything more about Fight for Sight, the work it's involved in, and indeed the fundraising, how do they go about getting in touch?
You can visit us on our website at fightforsight.org.uk, or you can call us on 0207 264 3900.
Dr. Dolores Conroy and Professor Mike Cheatham, thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.